And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today we've got a very powerful program because this is the day I tell you that Jesus has taken the kingdom from the Jews. That's right. Jesus took the kingdom from the Jews. And he gave it to another nation. We're going to find out why he took it from the Jews and why he gave it to another nation, and to what nation did he give the kingdom? But first, I want to let you know that millions of Christian evangelicals, led by their Zionist wartime prophet, Benjamin Netanyahu, are dead set on helping the Jews conquer the Middle East. We've got troops all over the Middle East. And we had none until the days of George W. Bush when he invaded Iraq and then Afghanistan for no real reason. And then several years later, we went over and supposedly killed Osama bin Laden, although no one has ever seen his body. But in any case, we've conquered those two nations. But then we went in and conquered Gaddafi's Libya. And without stopping there, we've sent troops into many nations in Africa, into Yemen. We've got, well, really troops everywhere. Syria now is gathering steam. And right after Syria will, of course, come Lebanon and then Iran. Now, the question is, why are American troops in Syria and Yemen and Afghanistan, and Iraq, all those countries? What are we doing over there? And what are the Jews doing to the Arabs and to the Palestinians? Now, we know that the Jews have been doing whatever they wanted to do to the Palestinians. They've been killing and raping and just the most horrible things to the Palestinians. Now, I want you to understand that we're in a stage here where we have to ask ourselves, what is America doing? What are we there for? Almost 10,000 miles from the United States. Why have we lost thousands of troops? Why do we have aircraft carriers there? What is going on? And what is Israel doing preparing a World War III scenario? What is Israel doing with nuclear bombs? What is Israel doing with nuclear bombs on nuclear submarines from Germany? And why are these being set up against Iran? Now, we need to understand that a greater Israel is being formed. A greater Israel is being formed. And we need to understand that God has taken the kingdom of God from the Jews and given it to another nation. Now, you may say to me, well, Tex, I've never heard of such a thing. Jesus took the kingdom of God from the Jews and he's given it to another nation? What nation could that be? What would be the holy nation that is deserving of the title, the kingdom of God? Well, first I want to turn your attention to Matthew 21, verse 43. This is Jesus talking. Now, when Jesus talks, you need to listen. I need to listen. The whole world should be shuddering and considering what he says. Listen to these words. Therefore, I, that is I, Jesus Christ, say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to another nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. Well, there, I've said it. I've never heard another preacher preach it. I've never heard it be preached, but it's Matthew 21, verse 43. Therefore, I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to another nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. This is not some racial, bizarre racial theory. This is not some would-be thing. This is not some fanciful, if you don't do A, I won't do B. This is a flat-out statement by the Lord Jesus. Therefore, I say unto you. This is exactly what Jesus said, but few pastors or other Christian teachers dare mention it. Why? They fear the Jews. They're fearful of being called anti-Semitic in this world. And they're paralyzed by the likelihood of their being considered politically incorrect. Just to say these words. Therefore, I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to another nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. Now, what we have then is 2,000 years ago, the kingdom was taken from the Jews. Taken from the Jews. And Jesus gave it to another nation. What other nation are we talking about? What other nation could it be that has been given the gift of the kingdom of God? Well, you know, Israel today, since 1948, has been a modern nation. And they've taken that nationhood and they've used it to belligerently smash and to kill thousands of Palestinians. They intend to take all of the land of the Palestinians. In a book we offer through the ministry entitled The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine, Ilian Pappi, a Jewish teacher, actually explains the ethnic cleansing of Judaism. They've got everything that the communists ever had. They've got, of course, you know, the airtight, you might say, wall up. Yes, they've got an apartheid wall up, just as they had in South Africa, just as the Berlin Wall was in Berlin. So we have a separation of the people, and we have a continuing stealing and robbing the Palestinian people of the land until they have very little land that's been left. The Jews have gobbled up more and more and more land with settlements. Now, there have been Americans that have seen this was wrong. Barack Obama knows it's wrong and has indicated it such. And he got, just stuck in the neck because of it. President Jimmy Carter saw that it was wrong. He's written at least two books about it. His last book was entitled Peace, Not Apartheid. It was a masterful book. But he, too, has been portrayed as an anti-Semite. And now I know that I will be portrayed as an anti-Semite because I've given you the words of Jesus Christ. But if he didn't say them, then the stones would be crying out because he said it and he meant it. Now, what does he mean about this? What is he talking about? Well, first of all, you have to look at it from the Jew standpoint. The Jews wanted their nation back in Israel. So in 1948, they got a little sliver of land back as their kingdom. And ever since 1948, they've been adding on and adding on and adding on. But they still have a great bit of land to conquer. Now, they have assumed that they will not only take Israel, as we deem it, but they will also take it all the way up to the river the river that goes through Baghdad and up all the way there. They'll take it to that river. They'll take it all the way through Iran. They'll take it through everywhere, the Syria, through Lebanon, all these areas down near the border with Egypt, until they have a greater Israel, a greater Israel. But they won't stop there, because they believe that their God is a great serpent. Yes, they do. They believe their God is a great serpent. They call him Leviathan. And this serpent God, this Leviathan, also known as Malkuth, will eventually give the Jews the whole world. The whole world as their fiefdom, as their kingdom. And they will sit down and eat pieces of meat from the serpent Leviathan and enjoy it as a communion meal. All right? This is their belief. This is the Jewish belief system. This is what the Jewish Kabbalah teaches, that the serpent that now exists is moving up, and will eventually take over the whole world. The serpent. Now, this may scare you a little bit if you believe it. If you don't believe it, it doesn't scare you at all. You just throw it out. But it's true. What I've told you that Jesus said from Matthew 21:43 is true. What I've told you is their religion of Kabbalah, the Jews, is true. All these things are true. What I've told you about greater Israel is so. Now, you must decide what you're going to do about it. First of all, the Jews control the United States. The Jews control Western Europe. And they have the power to make sure that they can, using American armed forces and NATO armed forces, they will go into greater Israel and take the rest of the land. They're doing it now with military force from America. And you and I have no say about it. We cannot say, why are American troops in Libya? Hillary Clinton was asked of that as Secretary of State. And she said, you know, we came, we saw, he died. Ha, ha, ha. And she laughed about it, meaning Gaddafi. So now we own Libya. And we own Iraq. And we own Afghanistan, and so forth. Soon we will own Syria. Then we will own Lebanon. Now, right now, we have the Arab Spring. And all of these nations, including Egypt, by the way, all these nations have an Arab Spring. What is an Arab Spring? Arab Spring means that in each nation, there are forces that bring tumult, chaos, catastrophe, and continual killings. These are American CIA forces. They are Mossad forces. They are not Arab Spring. Because, you see, we're not going to give freedom to the peoples. The people of Iraq will not have freedom, nor will the people of Afghanistan or Yemen or Syria or Lebanon. None of these nations will be given freedom, nor Egypt, for that matter. We will have a continuing series of strife and horrible things happening throughout the Middle East. And American forces will continue there for decades to come if the Israelis get their way. But I believe things are going to change. I believe after a certain period of time, America will get tired of this. America will come out of it. America, an American leader, will rise to put a stop to all of this. He will be awake, and he will deny the Jews. Yes, he will deny the Jews, and the Jews for once will be told, no, you cannot go. And then will be great strife and great power, a power bid between the United States and Israel. Now, this is going to happen. It will be, I don't know when, but it's been prophesied to occur. It's prophesied in Revelation 17, where we find the woman riding a beast, the United States. The woman, mystery, Babylon the Great, is Israel. She rides the United States. She tells the United States where to go. And it goes and it conquers. And it goes and it conquers. And it has done such since 1948. Now, since that day in 1948, Israel has gotten stronger and stronger and stronger in the United States. And it has grown bigger and bigger and stronger in the country of Israel. And it has taken over nation after nation after nation in the Middle East. Israel believes nothing is not going to stop it. It believes that God did not take away the kingdom from them. It believes that it was told by God that they will have, the Jews will have, this greater Israel kingdom. Nothing can stop that. They believe they will be gods. They believe a great serpent will come, and he will be the conqueror, the golem, and he will spread his tentacles all over the Middle East. And then from the Middle East will come the rest of the world, which will fall. And they honestly believe this. They believe that the United States must bend and do whatever they say. This is what they believe. And so far, they've been having whatever they wanted. So far, we have seen the Arab and Persian uprising. And we have seen the takeover by Israel of one nation after another, with the United States fronting in each case. Now, first of all, I want you to understand how this works, that the satanic Jews and their Judaizer helpers in crime believe that God is just lusting on some dusty old throne in a temple built by human hands right here on earth. He even has a people, the Jews, who will rule and reign with him. His throne is earthly. All right? Now, God, say the Jews, needs an earthly temple. He requires a house. They say that Christians also need a rebuilt house in Jerusalem, a holy place where Christians can celebrate Jewish feast days, sacrifice animals, and carry out old covenant Jewish rituals and ceremonies. They believe that not one thing has changed. They believe that since the days they returned from Babylon with their Babylonian Talmud and their Kabbalah, they believe that they have carried on just as they should. And now comes the rewards of 2,000 plus years of waiting. But let's just see. Let's just see from the Bible if what they say is so. Now, obviously, these fanatical Zionist advocates have failed to study the scriptures. Take Acts chapter 7, verse 48-49, which instructs us, quote, "Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest?" Now that should really deflate the Jews. They don't need a Jewish temple to be built. God says to them, I don't dwell in a temple built with human hands. Heaven is my throne. Earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? So the supposedly comforting thing that we're going to rebuild the temple of Solomon, and we're going to build it right there on the Temple Mount where the Jews go to pray on their little wailing wall, and they rock back and forth as if they're having sex with a mother goddess, and that's the meaning. They're having sex with a great serpent. And this is what they imagine. Their earthly city, Jerusalem, and their earthly kingdom, Israel, is where God wants to dwell forever. God doesn't want that city at all. He said it's a wicked, wicked place. It's Sodom and Egypt. How can I prove that? Well, see for yourself. Revelation 11, 7 and 8 says that Jerusalem, the great city, wherein our Lord was crucified, is spiritually Sodom and Egypt. Think of it, Christian Zionist, disregarding everything that God told you and said. You're obsessed and consumed as you vainly put out all stops to build here on earth a modern-day Jewish version of Sodom and Egypt. You're building up the nation of Israel. Why? Why do you build up a place that God says will be Sodom and Egypt? That's disgusting. That's sorrowful. You're helping the devil and his disciples in Jerusalem build a 21st century Sodom and Egypt. Well, what you've done is you strive to nullify Jesus' decision. He said, I'm taking the kingdom away from you. You, Christian Zionists, say, no, you're not, Jesus. He says, I will give it to another nation, meaning the Christian nation. The Christian Zionist says, I don't want it. It's the Jews to have. I don't want it, they say. It's the Jews to have. Well, God's word tells us clearly the opposite. This present day earth is not a fit place for an all-powerful, almighty God to live and rest. No way. Heaven is his throne, and earth is but his footstool. What kind of house would you build, Almighty God? Well, you see, dear friends, our Lord and Savior Jesus came, and he prophesied some 2,000 years ago. He said he would go and build a place for us. He said, I will have a better place than earth reserved for you, my saints. Mansions are waiting for us in heaven. Praise God. Heaven is where his eternal throne is. That's where I want to be. How about you? Well, regardless of the lies and confusion caused by the false teaching of the Judaizers, we know for sure that God's throne is in heaven. It will not be found in any earthly city, because God's holy city is the new Jerusalem, a marvelously created metropolis that has no parallels of any city that's filthy here on earth. The new Jerusalem, the heavenly city of God. What city can compare with that? Well, heaven is God's throne. That's what the scriptures tell us. Earth is but his footstool. Now, Zionist Christians say, we will not accept this. We will not accept this. We reject it. And Zionist Christians are working incessantly to set up his throne right here on earth in earthly Jerusalem, a city that God says is Sodom and Egypt. Zionist Christian, listen to me. Why do you want to build a filthy city up in Jerusalem where God himself would never, ever go. I mean, it's there. It's there. Read it in Revelation 11, verse 8. It's spiritually Sodom and Egypt. Well, they seek, Christian Zionists seek a Zionist Jewish kingdom. And they're hotly demanding that the White House use American diplomacy and military firepower to assure these goals. We can't live here in peace in the United States. We have to have a bloated military budget. We have to have military arms on over 130 countries around the world. And we have to have troops. And we've seen this war going on since 9/11. Now, George W. Bush told us that he didn't believe in nation building. We thought we would have a nice, peaceful 4 or 8 years under George W. Bush. We saw nothing of the kind. We saw 9/11 brought to us by supposedly 19 Arabs. Now we know that what they were Jewish agents. And we can talk about that, but I hope you'll get the book by Victor Thorne from us on 9/11 evil. 9/11 evil by Victor Thorne. You'll find out it's the Jewish Mossad that created 9/11. Now, what has happened to the Jews? Well, as Jesus said, they will kill you and thinketh they do God service. That's what Jesus said. They will kill you and thinketh they do God service. That's why he told the Jews, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. But what do the Zionists and the Christian Judaizers say? They say this cannot, this will not stand. Christ made the wrong decision. He did a terrible thing in taking the kingdom from the Jews. We will undo what Christ has done. We will exalt the Jews. We will even praise them as God's eternal chosen people. They will possess the land. We will give the Jews the kingdom. Be gone, Jesus. Our will be done. Be gone, Jesus. Our will be done. But Jesus declared to the Jews, behold, your house is left desolate. Behold, your house is left desolate. He took the kingdom from them. He declared the house of Israel desolate. That's Matthew 23, 38, 39. And then he was crucified and he left. He left. And the temple was rent. The veil of the temple was rent from the top down, from God down. And the ark was taken and nothing was left behind. Don't you know the head Jews were desperate to find that ark? And who had reached up all the way to the veil of the temple and torn the veil and brought out the ark? They were totally confused and bewildered. But what they needed to do was to realize it is a dangerous thing to callously oppose the will of God. Christian Zionists, listen to me. It is a callous thing for you to oppose the will of Almighty God. I'll be right back after this brief message. Hello, friends. Tex Mars back again with the good news that we've got plenty of copies of our book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. This is the most powerful book I have ever written. It's the eye-opening revelations and forbidden knowledge about Israel, the Jews, Zionism, Judaism, and the Rothschilds. And it's all in this 432-page master book. You know, Sir Winston Churchill said of the Jews in the Illustrated Sunday Herald of London, February 8, 1920, he said it may well be that this same astounding race may at the present time be in the actual process of producing another system of morals and philosophy as malevolent as Christianity was benevolent. It would seem, said Sir Winston Churchill, it would seem as if the gospel of Christ and the gospel of Antichrist were designed to originate among the same people. Well, that's the quote that I lead this book with. It's a book that points out who is the Zionist serpent, the six-pointed star, the magic of the Kabbalah. You'll learn of the demons, the magic, and the mysticism in the Kabbalah, of the secret Kabbalistic hand signs, body signs, symbols. You'll learn of the greed is good credo of the Jews. And you'll learn of the many presidents, evangelists, mass murderers, and worse that we've had. You'll learn how the Reverend Billy Graham warned President Nixon. He said, quote, this stranglehold has got to be broken or the country's going down the drain. You'll learn of Vice President Spiro Agnew, how he exposed the dominance of the Jews and was destroyed for it. How President Harry Truman at first did everything the Jews connived for him to do and then turned against him. He also was destroyed. So there's so much here in this book. Rothschild, Obama, the swindlers, the great red dragon. You'll learn about Red China and why it's destined to become a great world leader. You'll learn about greater Israel and global dominion. How the Jews are the inventors of evil things. Why they're at the forefront of the satanic occult world movement. You'll learn about the printing of lies and the spreading of propaganda. You'll discover how the Jews are making war on Christianity. How they have targeted the very Christian Bible that we have used. And now they seek to destroy it. And finally, you'll learn how Jesus took the kingdom from the Jews and he gave it to another people. Are you one of those people? Have you looked in the mirror? Have you said, God, am I the one you've chosen? Have you done that, dear friend? The truth about the toxic Jewish religion must be told. And I tell it in this book. It starts off with an introduction. Confessions of an anti-Semite. Confessions of an anti-Semite. Yes, I admit. I admit that I have been called an anti-Semite. But I am not an anti-Semite at all. I'm a man who simply tells you this, that God is not a racist. That God did not place one people over another. That God has declared that every man, every woman on this planet has the right, has the privilege of serving him. If you only believe in him, this is all that he requires of you. Only believe. If you believe, then you will go forth. Then you will obey his commandments. Then you will accept the challenge. This is the law today. This is the rule today. There is no old or new covenant. There is only the covenant with Jesus Christ, our Savior. Do you have that covenant in your heart? If you do, you'll understand why I wrote this book, why I wrote Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Please get it for, let's see, Jerry, how much is it? $25. Thank you very much. $25 $5 shipping and handling, a total of $30. For this book, it's a big, it's a fireside book. It's so heavy I can barely hold it in my hands. There's so much information in here, so much I put in here. I hope someday to do a second volume. But being as mighty a book as it is, it was enough. So please, order your personal copy. You will never have a book like this. You won't want to return this once you get it. You'll want to keep it, and you'll want to read it over and over and over. And I do the same thing. I wrote this book. I wrote every sentence in it. I wrote every word in it. And even I sit down and marvel at the pages in this book, that I had the presence of mind to write each and every one and present them to you. I've done that for you. I've helped you to understand. That is my job. Now, how to get this book? $25, add $5 shipping and handling. Ask for Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Phone us toll free, 1-800-234-9673. You can go to our webpage, powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. It'll be right there on the front page, and you can order this book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, for a total of $30. Let's see, Jerry, is there any other way to order? Okay, you can order it by mail. That's true. Please write to Power of Prophecy or to Text Mars and include $30 and simply say, text, send me that book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. And we'll get it right on the way to you. Okay, let's return now to our regular program. Our address here, of course, is Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. I think we're going to be here. We've been here for over 20 years, and we've got this building. We own the building. No one has a mortgage on us. We don't owe anybody 1 cent for anything. That's thanks to the goodness of you. And I want to mention that you have made it possible for us to remain independent. The Bible tells you not to go out and borrow money, and that's exactly what we've done. We've saved up money, and we spend it when we can. And we've saved all of our money, and we've spent it as we can. And we own this building outright. And if you can, when you give your gift for this book, please add another gift for Power of Prophecy so we can continue this word going around the world, okay? Please do that. Okay, now let's look at where we're headed here. We're talking about Jesus taking the kingdom away from the Jews. You know, the Jews are in the kingdom of God as well. They're not part of the kingdom of God, but they've been placed here to spy on us, to bring false religion to us. And you can see this. This is the way they're doing it. Or let me give you some examples of this. They're the Christian Jews identifying themselves as Messianic Jews. There are no Messianic Jews, folks. There are only Christians and then non-Christians. That's all we have. We don't have Messianic Christians. We don't have Assembly of God Christians. We don't have Charismatics. We don't have Methodists. We only have Christians and non-Christians throughout this world. But the Messianic Jews are proud to call themselves such. Now, take Arnold Fruchtenbaum, a leading Messianic Jew. He declares that the King James Bible teachings in the book of Daniel indicating that the Antichrist will be a Jew means that the King James Version is mistranslated. While the King James Version, no version would ever talk about the Jews having an Antichrist. While the glorious Jewish race that we could produce the Antichrist, the New Testament, it has these teachings? Why, no, it can't be, he says. Monte Judah, yet another Christian Jewish leader, doubts much of the whole New Testament is valid. Why? Because it elevates the new covenant of Jesus Christ and diminishes the importance of the Jewish temple and what he believes is the importance of Judaic practices. Surely, Monte Judas suggests, the Apostle Paul's writings are way off base, just plain unholy. How can we explain the Apostle Paul? The Jews' old covenant and the primacy of the temple must be maintained. Or so Monte Judas suggests. Then there's Arno Froese, head of yet another Zionist-oriented group, a Gentile who is a rabid Judaizer. He teaches that Jews should not even be evangelized. Why, no. Jews for Jesus? Why, that organization should not even exist. He attacks the King James Bible and all modern New Testaments because he says they're based on pagan religions. Well, then what religion should the Holy Bible be based on? Well, only the Hebrew language is pure, he says. Therefore, the New Testament cannot be inerrant. It cannot be inerrant. The whole New Testament is printed from the beginning in Greek. But he says the Greek is a tainted language. So you can't believe anything in the New Testament. This is the way they deal. Oh, yes, they believe in a perfect Bible, if there ever was one. Do you believe in an inerrant Bible? Yes, I do, if there ever was one. What does that mean? You take, for example, the Lord's Prayer. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 9, in the traditional King James Version, the first line reads, "Our Father which art in heaven." That's it. Our Father which art in heaven. Now, what's the wording in the newer NIV version? Here it is. Father. Father. What? What happened to our Father which art in heaven? There is no our Father. There is no which art in heaven. There's only Father in the NIV version, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 9. Why? Well, because the Jews and Judaism emphasize the here and now. An earthly kingdom is their fanatical goal. They could care less about any father in a place called heaven. The Jews want riches and rewards now. They don't want them tomorrow in some place called Holy Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem. So they've got to modify the Bible. They don't need a father who's in heaven. They want one right here now. So they will accept the serpent deity instead of the real God. Well, in the Israeli town of Beit Shemesh, a teacher recently led students in destroying a New Testament that had been given a student free by a Christian missionary he encountered on a sidewalk. The Christian missionary met this young Jewish student and gave him a New Testament. But the local rabbis aided the police in searching for the culprit who gave the banned book to the student. If he's caught, he faces a long stretch in prison. It's a criminal offense in Israel to proselytize by passing out free New Testaments. Think about this. A Christian, a guy, encounters a Jew on a sidewalk in Israel. He says, "Here, I'd like for you to have this free New Testament." Then the student takes it back to his yeshiva, his school. And wow, everybody's up in alarm. Rabbis, go get the police. They're out there searching for the man who gave the student the Bible. If they can only find him, he'll face a long stretch in prison. This is what Israel is today. There is a war on Christians. If you go to Old Jerusalem and you encounter a Jewish man there, and you ask him, does he know of Jesus, he will spit on the ground. He will grab his testicles and spit on the ground. That's what he thinks of Jesus. Then he will have you arrested. I say enough is enough. Stop attacking God's holy word. And you Jews in Christianity, you Messianic Jews, you Zionist Jews, you Judaizer Jews, you should be ashamed of yourself trying to change the Bible's words because you say there's too much truth in it. That's what you're really doing. That's what you're really doing. Well, let's look at this. Let's go to the scriptures. Israel is nothing more than Satan's Sodom and Egypt. That's what it's called in the Bible in the last days. In Revelation 11. In the book of Revelation. That's where it deserves to be. Now, all these Christians will tell you that the formation of Jerusalem and the coming together of Israel in the last days is a holy miracle of God. Now, God is coming soon. Look, this is the last days. See, the Jews now have Israel again. So let's turn to Revelation 11 and see what the Jews have. What they have is Sodom and Egypt. And it is a cesspool. Why? Because it's being made a cesspool by the Jews. It's being made a cesspool. Now, here's what Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, 11 and 12. And he said unto them, he's talking to his disciples, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Now, friends, the Jews' kingdom of God was taken away by Jesus. He declared their house would be left desolate. But the last days helpers of Satan, including you who are Christian Judaizer evangelicals, and the neocons of the Obama administration, strive to nullify Jesus' decision. You don't want that. You say, no, 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 no. The Jews will have their earthly kingdom. They will have a kingdom, all right. A kingdom for the beast, the son of perdition. Now, if, as Jesus prophesied, the kingdom has been taken from the Jews, to whom is it given? What of the kingdom of God that is promised? Well, Jesus says that the kingdom of God will not go to the Jews of earthly Israel, but instead to a nation bringing forth fruits thereof. What nation is given the kingdom? What nation will bring forth fruits? Only the Christian nation. This is where the scriptures supply the answers. The kingdom of God was taken from the Jews and physical Israel and given to Christians. Christians are God's chosen people, and Christians are his holy nation. Now, the Apostle Paul wisely addressed these matters. Now, read this. Get this. In 1 Peter 2, 4 and 6, we read that Christians, not Jews as a race, but Christians are, quote, chosen of God and precious. Are you a Christian, dear friend? Look in the mirror. Look into your heart. What do you find? Are you chosen by God? Are you precious? Now, Peter instructed Christians. He said, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God. How much more can they tell you? I've taken the kingdom from the Jews. I've given it to another nation that will bear the fruits thereof. That's what Jesus said. And he said, it's unto you, it's given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are outside, all these things are done in parable, that at any time they may see and perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sin should be forgiven them. If they saw, if they perceived, if they understood, then their sins would be forgiven them. But they're not. Why? Because it's the Christians who now have the upper hand. It's the kingdom that's been taken from the Jews, wrested from their hands. And Jesus said, I'm going to give it to the Christians. I'm going to give it to those who will bring forth fruits. You don't have the kingdom anymore. Not one of you has obeyed the law. Not one of you has obeyed the law. Do you get that? And I heard Pat Robertson on TV say that if the Jews will obey the law, then they'll receive the kingdom. But what did Jesus say? Not one has obeyed the law. But what did Peter say to Christians? What did he say? You're chosen of God and precious. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God. How many times do you have to hear that, dear friend? I've had people that wrote to me and said, I am not a chosen generation. Whew. I'm not a holy nation. I'm not chosen by God. I'm just a Christian. What? If you're all those things, you're chosen of God, you're a chosen generation, you're a royal priesthood, you're a holy nation, you're all of these things. Second, read 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. Now this Bible verse I've just given you is hated and despised by today's evangelical leaders. I go in churches, I've never heard this preached. They won't preach this. No, they won't even talk about it. They read it and they go, oh, this tells me that Christians are these things. But Jews are supposed to be these things. I can't tell a Christian he's these things. These scriptures speak not of a physical race, do they? They don't say the Jews are. No. They don't speak of a physical race. You see, they don't speak of national origins. They don't speak of spiritual things at all. Christians are chosen out of many nations. That is the Great Commission. Go forth to all nations. And we go all the way back and connect it with Abraham. Abraham was told, you'll be father of many nations. The Jews say, no, just us. Just we Jews, just one nation, just Israel. But God said, your nation is left to you desolate. Henceforth, I go unto others. Henceforth, the kingdom is taken from you and given to others. He has a born again group of people, born again in spirit and in truth. You don't have to go back into your mother's womb and be reborn. You have been born again in spirit and in truth. You can be a Jew, a Gentile, German, African, Asian, Latino, Arab, English, Italian. Only spirit matters. And if it matters, if you have received a kingdom, see, this is what you didn't understand maybe when you were first born a Christian because they didn't tell you. When you were born again as a Christian, Not only was your heart clean, not only did your sins get obliterated, not only did you come forth and say, I'm going to conquer for Jesus. Not only did you have that spirit of victory, but you received a kingdom which cannot be moved. Read Hebrews 12, 28, 29. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fear. Now, here's some questions for you along the lines that God is not a racist. First of all, Tex, I was taught by ministers that the Jews are eternally God's chosen people, a special and unique race favored by God, whom he loves above all races. Is this true? No, it is not. It is unscriptural, false doctrine. God is not a racist. In 1 Peter 8:10, Christians are told, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, the people of God. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians wrote to Christians, quote, God has chosen us. We're a chosen and a holy nation, born again in him. God's chosen. Don't think you're not chosen. Don't. In Genesis, didn't God promise Abraham's seed the inheritance? Wasn't Abraham's seed the one who got all the blessings? Isn't it Abraham's seed that are the Jews? It is Abraham's seed, chosen out of all races and nations on earth, who through faith have the promise. And God keeps his promise. God told Abraham that by his seed the whole world would be blessed. Praise God. But Abraham was not a Jew. He came from Ur in the Chaldees. Thus, Abraham was a Babylonian. So then, who are Abraham's seed, heirs to the promise? Again, turn to the scriptures for the answers. Galatians 3, verse 29, reveals that the seed refers to anyone of any physical race who is put on Christ Jesus. Here's where it reads, Galatians 3, verse 29, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And the clincher is this. The very verse before that says there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male or female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. One in Christ Jesus. Now you've heard foolishness spouted here today by these so-called Messianic Jews, by real Jews, by pastors who are Zionist Christians who don't even understand these things. But I ask for you, I ask of you, are such people bewitched and foolish? Do you believe God or man on this matter? So when you hear a person preaching, spouting such foolishness, respond just as Paul did. Let them know of their grave error by warning them that they have bought into the lies of witchcraft. Witchcraft. And go on about your way. Go on about your way in victory in Jesus Christ and his kingdom, having all the promises, being the seed of Abraham forever and ever. Amen. Well, friends, my prayer is that you'll tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.